This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, Rabbi Yisai. Baruchim Abam. Welcome to the opening shiur of Sefer Shemois. Thank you, everybody, for joining. Sefer Shemois is a very important sefer. As we discussed when we were learning Sefer Bereishis, Bereishis is the book of seeing, Re'iya, and Sefer Shemois is the book of Shemiya, of listening. And actually, Reb Rafi composed a whole list of examples of where we see in Sefer Shemois Shemiya. We'll see if we're able to come to that this year. The Shurim on Sefer Shemois are sponsored by the Zakheim family, Lilo Nishmas, Shleima Eliezer ben Harav Yaakov Zakheim, Zechornim Levracha. And this week's parsha is sponsored by our good Yadid, Rabbi Yishaya Levi, as is chus for him and his mishpacha, and in honor of his dear friend, Rabbi Yaakov Shimshin Hus, Lebracha Latzlacha. Thank you, everybody. And all the sponsors should be Nisparech, Mishamayim, Bechol Mili, Demetav. Okay, so we're starting Sefer Shemois now, and if you don't have your Svarim yet, whether on Rav Meir, or now is a good time to get the Sefer on Pesach, because it has a lot of Shurim on the upcoming Parshios, you could go to our website, rabbidg.com. All the Svarim are on sale. Sale is extended until January 15th.
What percent do you have?
And, of course, Reb Sander wanted me to point out that the Shurim are also available on podcast and Shas Illuminated. And Bezos Hashem, starting soon, some of the Shurim will be on the Torah Communications Network. Okay, Parshas Shemois. Continuing the theme from Parshas Vayigash.
Hungarian, no?
I don't speak Hungarian publicly, but privately we could discuss it. Parshas Vayigash, we discussed Malchus. Parshas Vayichi, we discussed Malchus.
Yeah.
And we even discussed on Monday a continuation of that. And we're going to continue this subject. The Pasuk says, Vayihi ki yaru hamiyaldois esholeikim, when the midwives, they feared God, vayaslohem batim, so as a reward, God made a houses for them. We know that Paroi decreed, kolabena yiloid hayo'ira tashichu. Any child that is born, any son that is born, you have to throw into the river, because they saw in their astrological signs that the Mashiach Shal Yisrael was going to be born. But out of the fear of God of these Jewish midwives, they saved the Jewish children. Not only did they save the Jewish children, but they supported them, they fed them, they helped them develop. And as a reward, God made for them houses. What kind of houses? Says Rashi, Bate Kuhuna Ulavia Umalchus. They were rewarded with the institutions of the priesthood, the institution of the Levites, and the institution of royalty. And all of these institutions are called Batim. As the Pasuk says, Vayiven es beis Hashem es beis Hamelech. Kahuna and Levia came from Yecheved, and Malchus came from Miriam. How did Malchus come from Miriam? Because Miriam married Kalev. Kalev was Kalev ben Yefune from Shevet Yehuda. We discussed a while ago in the shir on Yibum how Malchus came from Kalev. It would seem it came from Kalev's brother. Okay, but be it as it may, let's analyze the first thing, and that is, why was the reward that because they saved the Jewish children, they rewarded with Kahuna, Leviah, and Malchus? What is the appropriateness of this reward? How is this reward quid pro quo? How is it mida keneged mida? No, what that meant is that Kahuna and Leviah came from Yocheved through Aaron and Moshe. In other words, because Yocheved saved the Jewish children, they merited that Kahuna and Leviah would come from them, and that Malchus would come from Miriam. What is the appropriateness of this reward? So, Hagoyin, Rabbi Yosef Doiv Soloveitchik, a.k.a. Rav Beryl, said over in the name of his father, the Brisker Rav, Rav Belville, an amazing pshat. He said, this is the most appropriate reward. This reward is what we call quid pro quo, mida keneged mida. Namely, what were the mitzvahim trying to do? They were trying to kill the Jewish boys. What were they trying to do to the girls? The girls, nothing. The girls would survive, and they would marry them. Now, what would have happened to the Jewish people if the mitzvahim would have been successful in carrying out their plan? Nothing. There would have been a Jewish people. You would have had Egyptian fathers, and Jewish mothers, and the children would be Yidlach, nice Jews. So they weren't trying to harm the Jewishness, but instead they were trying to destroy those aspects of Judaism that are of patrilineal descent, namely Kahuna. Kahuna, if your mother's a Kohenes, it's not going to do you any good. Kahuna, your father has to be a Kohen. And Leviah, your father has to be a Kohen. And Malchus, your father has to come from the Malchus based David. Come from Yehuda. So therefore, what the Mitzvahim were trying to destroy was not Judaism per se, but rather those institutions that follow patrilineal descent. So, and the Yocheved and Miriam saved and rescued and preserved Kahuna, Leviah, Malchus, those institutions of patrilineal descent, and therefore they in fact were rewarded that Kahuna and Leviah came from, Yocheved and Malchus came from Miriam. So what are we learning? That the merit for Malchus had been accrued and had been gained and garnered all the way in Egypt. So now we come to one of the great all-time individuals, in fact, the greatest all-time individual, and in his first encounter with the Almighty, and he sees a bush that is burning, and he wonders, Madua lo yivar hasne? Why does the bush not burn? The hasne einenu ukal, the bush is not being consumed. And if you happen to be making Shavuot brachas this week, it's a good vart to say over.
Yes.
Okay. So, I'm going to say it.
On the 17th.
On the 17th, I'm invited?
Yeah.
If you invite me on the camera, it's hard to say
yes,
no,
yes.
You know? Okay.
With the
Rebbetzin. With the Rebbetzin. That I can't discuss on the camera. But, okay. So here we have Moshe Rabbeinu was approaching this sneh. And what does God say to Moshe? If you look at number 4, Vayoymer al tikrav haloim. Do not approach here. Shal ne'alech me'al raglecha. Take off your shoe from on your foot. Ki ha'makam ha'shata oymer olav. The place that you're standing on. Ad mas koydeshu. It's holy ground. Says the Holy Gemara Masech Tezvachim on Daf Kuf Beis. Okay. Amar Ula. Ula said, Bikesh Moshe Malchus. Moses wanted royalty. V'loi nasnalai. And God said no. Dechsev, it says in the Pasuk, Al tikrav haloim, do not come haloim here. Vein haloim ela malchus. Shenemar, mi anoichi Hashem loikim ki havi yisani ad haloim. Who am I, God, that you brought me here? That's what David HaMelech said when Shmuel proclaimed him as the king. Actually, excuse me, when Nasan HaNavi said he would be the next king of Israel, David HaMelech said, who am I that you brought me ad haloim? So we see haloim refers to Malchus. So if Hashem told Moshe, Al tikrav haloim, don't come here, what God was saying is, don't come here, don't go there, Moshe. Moshe, I know you want to be the Melech, don't go there because I can't give it to you. Says the Gemara, Masav Rava. Rava asked Rabbi Shmuel, Aimer, Rabbi Shmuel said, Yevama Melech. Her sister-in-law was the king. Meaning, the Gemara earlier was talking about Elisheva, right, Reb Nosson? And after that, it says, okay, it was talking about Elisheva, and Elisheva's brother-in-law was the king. How's that? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was Elisheva's brother-in-law, and Moshe was a king. In fact, if you look at number 10, the Rambam Paskins in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, you cannot add on to the holy city of Jerusalem or the Azarois, only if you have a king, only if you have a prophet, only if you have Urim V'Tumim, and only if you have a Sanhedrin of 71. And I, so how did Moshe Rabbeinu do it? Moshe was a melech. So the Gemara is asking, what do you mean God, Moshe asked to be a melech and God said no? He is a king. Moshe Rabbeinu is a king. Moshe Rabbeinu is a melech. So the Gemara says, even though he's a king, he was a king, but he wanted his children to be a king, and God said, no, only you could be a king, your children can't be a king.
What made him a king? What happened? He was king over who?
He was the king over the Jewish people. He was the king.
Who made him?
Who proclaimed Moshe the king?
Yeah.
Self-appointed.
We'll have to see. Who made Moshe the king?
I didn't do it.
How do you know? Okay, so the Gemara asks, I shol, it says haloim, havei oid haloim ish, and his children were not a king. Says the Gemara, yeah, Ish-Boshes was a king. Or, Bechlau, Shalom Melech is not a raya, because Shalom Melech himself lost the Melucha. Because he had some type of arrogance, and Hashem took it away from him, so there's no kasha about Shalom Melech. So the bottom line is, this Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be a Melech. He said, God, can I be a king? And God said, Eno. Loim et en Aleph. You can't be the king. How do we know Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be a king? It says the word haloim, and haloim is malchus. By the way, where else in Tanakh do we have the word haloim, and haloim means melech? We have in Rus, goishi haloim. Goishi haloim, come here. Boaz tells Rus, come here, meaning your kings are going to come from you. So Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin, who was the great Rav in Yerushalayim, one of the most brilliant all-time minds, he has two versions of this, but he wants to know, where do we see in the conversation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe that Moshe wanted to be a melech? I mean, just because you have the word haloim, are there any more of a clue, is there any more indication that Moshe wanted to be a king more than the word haloim? So Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin says an amazing pshat. Ready for this pshat? God tells Moshe, Vayomer al tikrav haloim. Take off your shoe from on your foot. Okay, Marv Rabbeisai, let's make a little experiment. Who here is young and strong? Stand up. No, but let's go. Well, one person. I need a volunteer. Young and strong. Azriel, stand up. Azriel, go for it. Ready? Go for it. Come on. Can you take off your shoe, stand on one leg, and take off your other shoe? Could you do that?
Like this?
Not a slip-on, but
ties. No, slip-on is fine. They didn't have ties
right
now. You can't do it. Anybody could do that?
No.
Standing on one foot, taking off your other shoe. No? No one? Ira could do it, but he's not going to do it publicly. What? Stand on one foot and take off the other shoe.
Okay, that's easy.
Go for it, Rafi. Let's go.
Without
holding on to anything.
Without touching it?
Yeah. No. You could touch it, but without toppling over.
Okay.
So Rafael Yair is a young, strong man, and he's able to stand on one foot and without toppling over. The Gemara in Chulin says, on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, Yeled ad kama. Until what age are you a yeled? So Gemara says, as long as you could stand on one foot and take off the other shoe. Once you can't do that anymore, you're not a yeled. Yeah? So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chanina. They said about Rabbi Chanina that he was 80 years old and he could stand on one foot and take off the other shoe. Which indicates typically an 80-year-old is not able to stand on one foot and take off the other shoe. It was a special chiddush. The Rebbe Chanina was able to stand on one foot and take off the other shoe. But typically you need to be a young guy to stand on one foot and take off the other shoe. How old was Moshe Rabbeinu when God told him to take off his shoes? Moses was 80 years old, right? Moshe was 80 when he stood before Pari. So Moshe Rabbeinu then, for all intensive purposes, could not remove one shoe standing on one foot. So how is holy Moses going to take off his shoes?
It was 90, 80 over there. It wasn't the same.
Now, even though you'll say Moshe Rabbeinu was a gibar, but it says Reb Shua Leib Diskin, that's later, when he started going into full action. Yeah, but right now, we don't know for sure that he was a gibar. So that means Moshe Rabbeinu, if he's going to take off his shoes, he probably had to sit down. Oh, because how else are you going to take off your shoe? You mean to sit down? So you say, Moshe will sit. Here's the thing. Hashem said, take off your shoe because you're standing on Admas Kodesh, which means it has Kedusha. Now, in a holy place like the Azara, you're not allowed to sit down. There's halacha. Ein yeshiva ba'azara ela lemalchus beis David bolvad. The Gemara says in Masechta Yuma, on Daf Chaf Hey, number 8, Amar Mar, in Yeshiva Ba'azara, Elel Machas Beistav Bilvad. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes to a holy place. He knows he has to take off his shoe. He's 80 years old. He can't do what we just did. He has to sit down. So he wants to sit down, but he's not allowed to sit down, because in Yeshiva Ba'azara, Elel Machas Beistav. So that's where we see Moshe Rabbeinu asked to be a melech. because he wanted to be able to sit and take off his shoe. And Hashem said, sorry, I'm not going to give you malchus. You're going to have to leave the area, sit down, evacuate the area, and sit down over there, and then come back. In other words, how do we see that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted malchus? Because Moshe Rabbeinu needed to take off his shoe. And you can't take off your shoe if you're 80 years old unless you're sitting, and you're not allowed to sit unless you're a melech. So implicit in this conversation is, Moshe Rabbeinu is asking, God, you want me to be the leader. You want me to be the Navi. You want me to be a Kayin. You want me to be everything. So I want to be a melech. And God said no. Moshe was a melech. His children weren't. Okay, this is how Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin learns the sugya and zvachim of where we see that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be a melech, because in order to take off your shoes, you need to sit. In order to, right, only Mr. Rogers could stand on one foot and take off his other shoe.
And this wasn't the Azara.
What? Even though this wasn't the Azara, but Rabbi Shua Leib, good question. Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin says it was a holy place, and wherever the Shekhinah reveals itself, it's Asar Benilas Sandal. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was not allowed to sit like in a holy place, and must be he was asking to be a melech. This is the Shak Levitaria according to Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin. Comes.
Couldn't sit in the Azara,
Kohen Gadol cannot sit in the Azara. No. Now there was a Kohen Gadol who did sit in the Azara. His name was Eli HaKohen, and we're going to come to that. Now, Marv Rabbi say what?
Moshe Rabbeinu was considered the biggest anav that ever lived.
Moshe Rabbeinu was a very big anav. Guess who else was an anav? David. But David was a king. You could be a king and you could be an anav. It's not a stira. You could be humble and someone could insult you and you could overlook it. And if someone starts up with your malchus, you kill him. That's the dichotomy of malchus Yisrael. But here is the million-dollar question of the evening. And this comes from the Sefer Chavatzelas Hasharon, courtesy of Rabbi Gedalia Schwartz. Thank you. Where he asks the following question. The Gemara says, Ein yeshiva ba'azara el elamalchus beis David bovad. So ask the Chavatzelas Hasharon. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to sit. And in order to sit, you have to be a melech. So the question is, Moshe was a melech. We just quoted from the Rambam. The Rambam said, Moshe Rabbeinu was a king. So what's the problem? Moshe Rabbeinu says, I want to sit. God says, you have to be a king. Moshe should have said, I'm a king. I am a king. So why couldn't Moshe sit? What's the problem? Why, just because his children weren't a king, therefore you can't sit? I thought a king is allowed to sit. Who cares what status your children have? Moshe was a melech. If he's a melech, he should be allowed to sit. Furthermore, the Gemara says, Ein yeshiva ba'azara el alamachos beis David bavad. There's no sitting in the Azara unless you're a king of the Davidic line, which Moshe wasn't. So Moshe wasn't, what was he even asking for? Mimanavshach. If a regular king could sit in the Azara, then Moshe should have been allowed to sit. So what was God's answer? Elamai, you have to be from the Malchus Beis David. So what was Moshe asking? He's not from the Malchus Beis David. Ah. So, good.
Wasn't Amram a king? Wasn't he like a Nasi, a king,
Amram? No.
What was he? He was the head of the...
What was Amram?
Yeah.
A chash of a yid. He was the father of Moshe. He never did Navera.
But he wasn't the head.
The wife of Yecheved.
Wasn't he like the top...
Top gun? You could be the top gun. It doesn't mean you're the melech. Rav Moshe Feinstein was the Gal Adar. He wasn't the melech, you know?
No, but he was the one that everybody looked up to.
But he wasn't a melech.
Yeah, so...
Okay.
Rabasi is saying, and this is what I was thinking... Based on the Arachayim HaKadosh in Parshas Vayechi that we quoted last week, that we have on the sheet number 23, Arachayim HaKadosh says that Arachayim HaKadosh learns that the bracha to Yehuda, Yehuda, ata yaducha achecha, yadcha ba'er fayvecha, yishtachavu lecha b'nei avicha, gur ari Yehuda, right? The bracha to Yehuda, the Arachayim HaKadosh learns part of it was fulfilled in the times of Moshe and part of it in the times of Mashiach. As Arachayim HaKadosh, how could I explain the pasuk partly in the times of Moshe and partially in the times of Mashiach? Says Arachayim HaKadosh, Moshe was the Goyal that redeemed our forefathers, and he is going to redeem us in the future. Moshe was the Goyal Rishon, Moshe will be Mashiach, the Goyal Achron. That is the Shita of the Arachayim HaKadosh. Moshe Rabbeinu will be Mashiach. The remez is Moshe stands for Ma Shehaya Hu Sheyia Rosh Tevos Moshe. We know Melech Mashiach has to be Yehuda from the descendants of David, and some say even David himself. Says the Arachayim HaKadosh, you need to know that the Bechina of the Neshama of Moshe incorporates and encompasses and overarching is the general category of all of Klal Yisrael and all 12 tribes. He is the encompassing element of all 600,000 Jews, and an anaf of the Shevet of David is in Moshe, and that's how Moshe could be a melech, and a kohen, and a levi, and a navi, and a chacham, and a gibar. He had the gevura of Yehuda, he had the gevura of Dan, he had the kahuna of levi, he had the leviah of levi, he had the nevuah, he had the chachma, and the asad lavai, the shoyresh of the malchus in Moshe, will be revealed that he himself is Mashiach. That is the opinion of the Archaim HaKadosh. In that case, Moshe comes from Shevet Levi. But in that case, Moshe Rabbeinu could make the claim, at least on some kind of spiritual level, that he is somehow encompassing Malchus Beis David. And in that case, Moshe Rabbeinu could make the claim and make the request Moshe wanted Malchus. He could ask to sit. Only the Malchus Beis David could sit. Moshe Rabbeinu is from the Malchus Beis David. However, the question then would be, and what's God's answer? God said no. What do you mean no? God said your children won't be a king. So what? His children won't be a king. But Lamaisa, Moshe Rabbeinu is from the Malchus Beis David. So what difference does it make that Moshe's children were not a king? Now there's a very interesting sefer on Chumash that we've never featured in number 11, Masas HaMelech of Reb Shimon Diskin, I believe. And he asks a very interesting question. He asks that he wants to prove that the din of Ein Yeshiva ba'azara el Malchus Beis David Bovad is not a phenomenon that only exists in the Malchus Beis David, but perhaps any king would be allowed to sit in the Azara. And he proves it. He says like this: the din of Ein Yeshiva Azara El Malchus Beis David Bavad means that you could only sit in the Azara if you have the Iker Malchus. If the primary Malchus rests in your hand, you could sit in the Azara whether you're from Malchus Beis David or not. It's just that primary Malchus happened to have been given to David, and therefore the Malchus from Beis David, the Malchay Beis David, could sit in the Azara. But if Malchus was given to Moshe, then Moshe could have sat in the Azara. It's just that Malchus was not given to Moshe. Now I would have said that Malchus, that perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu could have sat in the Azara because he did come from the Malchus Beis David, but we're going to see it's not enough, it seems, to come from the Malchus Beis David. It has to be that the Iker Malchus was given to you, and that is defined by, do you pass it on to your children? We may tweak that a little bit later in the shir. And the Masas HaMelech brings the following raya.
What was the Malchus Beis David in Moshe Rabbeinu's time? So what?
But, I will say that we've quoted often, many, many times, the last couple of weeks, the Shlach HaKadosh, and your homework last week was to read, or 2 weeks ago, was to read in the English book about the Shlach's comments on why the brothers wanted to sell Yosef, because they held he was starting up with Yehuda, who was the patriarch of the Malchus Beis David.
Yeah.
So apparently, according to the Shlach, there was a concept of Malchus Beis David going back to the Shvatim, that even Yehuda had some kind of status of the Malchus Beis David. But I want to share with you Gemara in Sanhedrin number 18 on your sheet, Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. Who's your side? Really? Sanhedrin Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara says the arrogance of Yeravam drove him out of this world. Like it says, now we know Yeravam split up the Melucha from who? Any Jewish people in the audience who might know? What? Yeravam split up the Melucha from Shlomo's son, Rechavam. And he said as follows. He says, if the people go up and they want to start bringing Karbonos in Yerushalayim, then people's hearts are going to turn back to Rechavam, the king of Yehuda. So he was very wary that if the Jewish people go to be Oilei Regel, they're going to return their allegiance to the Malchei Beis David. And if they do that, they're going to kill me, says Yeravam said. So, he said, there's a tradition. What I could do is I could go sit in the Azara, and sitting in the Azara means you're the Melech. However, there's a tradition, and Rashi says it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, which, by the way, Rashi elsewhere in Shas says something else. We have a tradition, Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara Ela L'Malchei Beis Yehuda Bilvad. Now that's a different lashon than we find anywhere else in Shas. Everywhere else in Shas, in Soita, in Yuma, in Chulin, we have a concept in Yeshiva Bazar El Malchus Beis David Bovad. Here it says El Malchay Beis Yehuda Bovad. So says Yerachavim, if I go up to the temple, says Yeravim, if I go up to the temple and Rechavim is sitting and I'm standing, they're going to say he's the Melech and I'm the Eved. And what are they going to do to me? They're going to say I'm Moirid B'malch, they're going to say I'm a nobody. Elam, I have a great idea. I'll sit down next to him. So he says, then I'll be a Moirid B'malchus, and they're going to kill me. Yeah. And they're going to follow Yerachavim. So he gave the following advice. He set up calves in the north, and they said, from now on, you don't go to the temple. From now on, we have our place of worship up here, our agolim, our egel. And he stopped the people from being Oilei Regel, and he put sentries on the road, and he made sure the soldiers made sure people didn't go to Yerushalayim. But let's think about what this Gemara said. Yeravam said, if we go to the temple, and Rechavam is sitting, and I'm standing, then they're going to say I'm an Eved. And if I sit, they're going to say I'm a Moirid B'malchus. Ask the Masas HaMelech. I don't understand. If they see Rechavam sitting and I'm standing, why are they going to say I'm an Eved? Everyone knows I'm the Melech of Yisrael. And there's a din. Only the Melech of the Malchus Beis David could sit and not any other king. So why would anybody say I'm an Eved? They're not going to say I'm an Eved. There's a din. There's Xeris HaKosa. There's Alach L'Moshe Misina. You got to come from David to sit in the Azara. So they're not going to say I'm an Eved. They're just going to know I'm not from the Malchus Beis David. Furthermore, if Yeravam said, if I sit, they're going to say I'm Moirid B'Malchus. Why are they going to say I'm Moirid B'Malchus? How am I Moirid B'Malchus? I'm just violating a halacha that if you're not from the Malchus Beis David, you're not allowed to sit. I'm not a Moirid B'Malchus. Says the Masas HaMelech from this Gemara, we see a tremendous yesoid. Sitting in the Azara is not only to the Malchus Beis David. Not only kings from the Davidic dynasty are allowed to sit. Any Melech who is the primary leader of the Jewish people, any Melech who has the primacy of Malchus is allowed to sit. Any Melech whose Malchus is not primary is not allowed to sit. So he said, if Yeravam is sitting and I'm not sitting, they're going to say I'm a nobody. They're going to say my Malchus is not primary. They're going to say he has the primacy of Malchus and I don't. El am I, I'm going to sit, then I'm being murdered by Malchus. Because I'm saying I also have primary Malchus, and they're going to say that's a challenge to Rechavam's Malchus. So now, says the Masas HaMelech, we understand how Moshe Rabbeinu could ask to sit in the Azara. He's not from the Malchus Beis David. So again, we would say maybe he is. But says the Masas HaMelech, he was allowed to ask for Malchus because he had the primacy of Jewish leadership. He was the primary Melech of Klal Yisrael. And the answer God said to him is, sorry Moshe, you can't sit because since your Malchus will not be passed on to future generations, you are not Ikaron Shel Malchus. In other words, we see from this Gemara that the din Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara El Malchus Beis David is not specific to the Malchus Beis David. We see that Yeravam said, if I stand, they're going to think I'm an Eved. What do you mean? Everybody knows you're not from Malchus Beis David. Clearly, you don't have to be from Malchus Beis David to sit. He said, if I sit, people are going to think I'm Moirid B'Malchus. Why? You're just violating the halacha. No, in order to sit, you have to be Ikaron Shel Malchus. And this explains and answers the Chavetz Hasharon's question that, again, Mimanav Shach. Moshe was a Melech. Elamai, he's not from Malchus Beis David. What was he asking for? The answer is he was asking because even though he was a melech, but he felt he had the primacy of Malchus and he has the right to sit. And Hashem says it won't go to your children.
The concept of not being allowed to sit in the Azorah unless you're a melech should only apply in Eretz Yisrael.
It does.
So what does that have to do with?
But it seems like anywhere the Shekhinah is. No, it's not.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
Why not?
Ask him.
He's everywhere.
Speak to him. The Shekhinah is not everywhere. The Shekhinah is only when there's a minion. And then the Shekhinah...
The Shekhinah was in the midbar over the Jews protecting them. They weren't allowed to sit down.
The midbar did not necessarily have the status of the... It's only Mamish Admas Kodesh. They didn't have to take off their shoes in the midbar. Okay, now this din, Rabbi Yisai, this din, that Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara El Lamalchus Bezdav Bilvad, there's a very interesting Mishnah Lamalach. Look in the Rambam in number 12. The Rambam says in Hilchus Bezdav Bechira, Perak Zayin Halachavav, Asur L'chol Adam Leishay B'chol Azara, you can't sin the Azara, Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara El Lamalchus Bezdav Bilvad. Shenemar, and David came, and he sat before God. I, the Sanhedrin, sat in the Lishkas HaGozes. They sat in the Chulin part of the Lishkas HaGozes. They didn't sit in the holy part of the Lishkas HaGozes. The Mishnah Lamelech wants to know, is this prohibition of sitting in the Azara, is it a Dinda Oiraisa or is it a Dinda Rabbanon? Now Rashi, we just saw in Sanhedrin number 19, says it's Halach L'Moshe Misinai. Rashi in Yuma, and Daf Chafhe, and Daf Samach Tesam Abbe, says... It comes from a pasuk. La'amoid u'lasharais ha'oimdim sham lefnei Hashem. So that means it's not halach l'mashem yisani, it's learned out of a pasuk. The Mishnah Melech says, you could say that these psukim are just asmachta ba'alma. However, Rashi in Soita says something very interesting. Look at number 17. Rashi in Soita says, you can't sit in the Azara, because it's not kavod shamayim to sit in the Azara. Even the angels don't sit in the Azara, or in the presence of God. Only to the Malchus Beis David, why God gives them honor that to show that their Malchus is Shlema. Now, says the Mishnah Lamelech, Rashi, who says it's not Kavod Shemayim to sit, is Mashma, that's only a Din D'Rabbanan, because Rashi's saying it's a Svara. It's not, Rashi's saying that it's not Kavod for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that implies that it's only a din d'rabbanan. If it was a din d'oraisa, Rashi wouldn't have to give a svara. However, he could say that Rashi is just giving a logic of why the Torah asers it, because from the end of Rashi, that Hashem gives honor to the Malchus Beis David, that implies that there it's a din d'oraisa. However, says the Mishnah Melech, l'chayra you could approve that it's a din d'oraisa from the fact that the Gemara in Kedushin says that even Shmuel did not sit down in the Azara. Why? Ein yeshiva ba'azara el el malchus beis David v'vad. Now if it was a din d'rabbanan, why in the world would Shmuel be bound by a din d'rabbanan? Maybe the din d'rabbanan was not issued yet. So that implies it was a din d'oraisa. Okay.
What do the words Shvisi Hashem and Nekisom
mean? I place God before me always. But doesn't the Shekhinah is not everywhere?
In a shul, you see that on the Aron Kodesh. Shevisi Hashem and Nagi Samet.
That's it.
Okay, but if there's no minion, the Shekhinah ain't there. You can't lean.
It's only with a minion.
Yeah, or even if there is a minion, people are talking, you also can't lean. You chase out the Shekhinah. So, Shekhinah is not everywhere. Shekhinah, the Gemara says 10 people bring the Shekhinah. 22,000 people bring the Shekhinah. 600,000 bring the Shekhinah. So there are many levels of Shekhinah. The Stipler writes, there are many, many levels of Shekhinah. Now, this is also very interesting. Because if you look at number 20 in the Malei Haroyim, the Gemara learns out, Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara from Eli HaKoyen, who Eli HaKoyen would sit in the Azara and nobody else was allowed to. So the Malei Haroyim asked, what in the world was Eli HaKoyen doing? He wasn't from the Malchus Beis David. He was from the, he was a Kohen Gadol. So here is where you could say slightly different than the Masas HaMelech. The Masas HaMelech says that sitting in the Azara is lav davka to the Malchus Beis David, but you have to be Iker HaMalchus, and Yeravam was not Iker HaMalchus, and if he would have sat, it would have been a Merida B'Malchus. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be Iker HaMalchus, and God said, you're not. Now that's a little bit difficult to understand, that Moshe Rabbeinu was not Iker HaMalchus, so who was more Iker HaMalchus than Moshe Rabbeinu? But you could say a little differently. If you look at Rashi in Soita, number 17, why are the Malchei Beis David allowed to sit? Laharois, it's a honor that God gives them to show them Shemalchusoi Shlema, that their Malchus is complete. Says the Malei Haroyim, once there were kings in the Jewish people from the Malchei Beis David, then only the kings of Yehuda, of the Malchus Beis David, had a Malucha which was Shalem. But the truth is, before King David was selected, anyone could have been the king. Look at number 14. In Divrei Hayama, we have the pasuk, Haloi lochem ladas, you should know. Kashem alaykei Yisrael nasan mamlocha ladavid, God, the God of Israel, gave dominion to David al Yisrael la'olam. Loi ulavana of bris melach, it's a covenant of salt. Says the Rambam, once David was anointed, he was zoichet to keser malchus, and the malchus is for him and his children and his grandchildren forever and ever, but only to kesherim, someone who's not worthy cannot be a melech, but even if they're not worthy, the malchus still rests in the family. However, says the Mechilta, look at number 16, before David was selected, all Yisrael was kosher to be the melech. Now, I believe that this does not work out with the Shla HaKadosh that we've quoted all the weeks. That the reason why the brothers sold Yosef is because they felt Yosef was usurping the Malchus Beis David. Why can't he usurp the Malchus Beis David? According to the Mechilta, before David was selected, anyone could be the Melech. The Mechilta says, Ad shalei nivchar David, hayu kol Yisrael kesheirim lemalchus. Misha nivchar David, Yatsu kol Yisrael, shenemar haloi lochem ladas, ki Hashem aleike Yisrael, nasen es hamamlach ledavid. See, I would have said that all of Klal Yisrael from Shevet Yehuda would be roi lamalchus. Because once Yaakov Avinu said, lo yasur Shevet mi Yehuda, perhaps malchus could only come from Yehuda, and then it could have been anyone. And then David was selected. But the bottom line is, says the Malei Haroyim, before King David was selected, then the Eli HaKoyen, who was Miyuchad Shebi Be'am, he was the choicest of all Klal Yisrael, he could have sat in the Azara, which he did, because he had a wholesome, a Shalem dominion over the Jewish people. I, the Melech, no, the melech was not allowed to sit. There was no melech. However, interestingly, once David HaMelech was selected, then only David HaMelech was the miyuchad Shabam, and even Yeravam, who was a legitimate melech b'Yisrael, he was a king, he wasn't allowed to sit. Why? Because his malchus was not shalem. I believe this is a little bit of a different nuance than what the Masas HaMelech is saying. Masas HaMelech is saying that who could sit? Someone who is Ikaron Shel Malchus. So then why couldn't Moshe sit? Moshe wasn't Ikaron Shel Malchus. But if you say it a little bit differently, maybe this is what he means, the only person who could sit is someone whose Malchus is Sholem. Only if your Malchus is complete are you allowed to sit. Now, what does that mean, complete? So I would say, qualitatively, and... What? So, Yeravam couldn't sit because he was challenged by Rechavam. He understood that Rechavam is the Melech of Yehuda. So he knows he can't sit. If he sits, it's going to be Merida B'Malchus. We're going to come to that soon. But Moshe Rabbeinu could be his malchus was not sholem. In other words, we ask, why could Moshe sit? He was a melech. So it's not going to go to his children. So what? It could be that's a lack in the shlemus of his malchus. A malchus shlema is something that is hereditary. It's in the DNA. It will get passed on to the next generation.
The only time you can have malchus over
True.
How could he want to be a melech when there was no Eretz Yisrael?
Well, he was the melech. I mean, the Rambam's...
He couldn't even enter Eretz Yisrael.
True, but the Rambam, look at number 10. Moshe Rabbeinu melech haya.
How could he be a melech?
He was, I don't know, you know.
Melech could only exist when you have Eretz Yisrael.
Apparently not.
Was there ever any other king when Jews were not in Eretz Yisrael? Was there ever some Malchus? Anywhere?
Yehuda.
Where?
Goshen.
I know that I'm horrible.
I thought Malchus could only exist when you had Eretz Yisrael.
But Moshe was a melech. I mean, Vayhi Bishurun melech, the Ramban says, refers to Moshe. Now, Marv Raboisai, watch this. According... Well, the Rashi says that in Masechta Sanhedrin. By the way, the Masechta Samelech says that since sitting is not specific to the Malchus Beis David, but it's anyone who has Ikar and Shalmachus, that's why in Sanhedrin the Lashon is Ein Yeshiva Zer El Malcha Yehuda, because it's not specific to the Malchus Beis David. But according to what we're learning, it, the reading of the Psukim in Shmuel, by the way, there's a book called Sefer Shmuel, one of the Nevi'im, that's a part of the Torah, which... Yeah. God gave to the Jewish people, the Nevi'im, he says like this, Nasan HaNavi comes to David. He says, Ani Eyaloi La'av, I will be to you as a father. Meaning this God is saying, I will be to Solomon as a father. V'hu Yieli Laben, and he will be to me as a son. By the way, Ayin B'Sefer L'Kadameir Anini, that there's a chapter on this Pasuk, that building the Beis Hamikdash gains you the status of being a ben. This is one of the things that you become a ben for. Okay, so God says, V'chazdi lo yasur, mimenu, I will not remove my kindness from him, like I removed the malchus from Shaul. V'ne'eman beischa, your house will be ne'eman, it will be trustworthy, it will be stable. U'mamlacht ha'arayim mafanecha, your sovereignty will be forever. Your throne will be firm forever. And by the way, the Rambam quotes this pasuk in Hilchos Melachim, Parak Av, Halacha Zayin, number 15, to indicate that once David was selected, it belongs to him forever. This is what David was told by Nasan. What's the first thing David does when he's told that not only is he a king, but the reign will continue in his descendants? What's the first thing David does? Vayavah Yamelech David Vayeshev Lefnei Hashem. David comes to the Azara and he sits down. Vayomer, what does he say? God, Mi Anochi Hashem Elokim. Who am I, God? Umi Beisi, who is my house? Ki Havi Yosani Adalim, that you brought me to Haloim. Ein Haloim Elamach Zavakasha. What took David so long to sit? He was always a king. It's just now he's being told that they would continue to Shlomai. What took David so long? He stood until now. Avada, he stood until now. Because until now, in Malchus Shlema. He was like Moshe Rabbeinu, who was a melech, but it wouldn't continue to his descendants. So he wasn't allowed to sit. Moshe wanted Malchus Shlema. How do we see Moshe wanted Malchus Shlema? Because he wanted to take off his shoe, and he couldn't take off his shoe because he's 80 years old, so he has to sit, so he wants to be a melech. And God said, no, it's only to you and not to your children. It's not Shlema. But when David HaMelech is told that the Malchus will continue to Shlema, the first thing David does to solidify and recognize his wholesome Malchus is he has a seat. Because Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara L'Malchai Beis David Bavad. And he says, you wanted to know, but how could you be a king and have humility? This is exactly what David is saying. He sits, he claims the mantle of royalty, but he says, who am I that you brought me, Ad Haloim, that you brought me to this great Malchus? Yeah. Now I want to end off with a lumdus of the Briska Rav on the Malchus Beis David. We said that Yeravam was afraid to sit down because it would be construed as a merida. We asked, why would it be a merida? It's just a violation of the halacha that you can't sit unless you're from the Malchus Beis David. So he said, well, because the only way to sit is if you're the primary king. So if he's sitting, he's claiming he's the primary king. The lashon that he uses is, they are going to kill me. They are going to kill me. Who's they? Why didn't he say, Rechavam is going to kill me? Because after all, question, if somebody goes over to the king and says, King, you have a big nose. He's a Marba Malchus. Is he chayiv misa, or could the king kill him? The Brisker Rav says, he's not chayiv misa, but the king has the authority and the right to kill him. Not so, Marie de B'machas Beis David. Marie de B'machas Beis David, it says in the Tosefta in Shumais, number 24, and Rashi quotes it in Navi, Reb Shimon Oimer, Kachamra Lehem Kalam, Marie B'machas David, chayiv misa. If you rebel against the house of David, you're liable to the death penalty from Bezdin. If you rebel against the king, you're Marie B'machas, the king could kill you.
Was it in Haftarah, Rabbi? David told Shlomo to go and kill this guy, kill that guy, kill this guy.
Why? Because it was Merida B'malchus Beis David.
Yes.
Merida B'malchus Beis David, you're Chayiv Misa. If you rebel against the king, Melech Yisrael, and if you're a Melech B'malchus Beis David, you have two dinim. One is, the king could kill you because you're Marib B'malchus, and anyone could kill you because you're Marib B'malchus Beis David. By the way, that's how the Shlal learned why the brothers wanted to kill Yosef. They held he was a Marib B'malchus Beis David. So it's interesting. By the way, as an aside, I never said this publicly. Do you remember the shir from the Abarbanel that we had last Wednesday night? That the whole Birchas Yaakov was really to establish who should be the next king of Israel. It can't be Reuven. Reuven's impetuous. It can't be Shimon and Levi. They have too much of a temper. It's not Dan. Dan ambushes, not Zavulun, and he's a businessman. It comes out beautiful that the Haftarah, Parshas Vayechi, is David is on his deathbed, and he proclaims that Shlomo will be the Malchus Beis David. Because at first glance, the only connection between the Haftarah and Parshas Vayechi is they both begin with Vayikrvu Yimei Yisrael Lamos, Vayikrvu Yimei David Lamos. But according to Abarbanel, that the whole theme of the Parsha is the establishment of the Malchus Beis David, so that's the Haftarah, the continuation of the Malchus Beis David through Shlomo. But the Brisker Rav says as follows. He says there's a very big nafkamina between Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Beis David. When one rebels against Malchus Yisrael, you're only a Marib B'Malchus, the king could kill you. But if you're going to sit in the Azara, and that's designated for the Malchi Beis David, that's not a Marib B'Malchus, that's a Merida B'Malchus Beis David. That's why Yeravim said, they're going to kill me. Anybody could kill me, because I'm Chayiv Misa, because it's a Merida and the Malchus Beis David. So we've been able to continue this theme into Sefer Shemais, and Bezus Hashem, next week, we probably have a little bit of a different angle on a different Indian. But thank you, everyone, for joining us. Bracha v'hatzlacha. Have an amazing evening, and kol tov selah. Thank you so much.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.